Well, good morning. Lovely to see you here this morning. My name's Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here at the church. Allow me to add my welcome to Nick's as we come to this passage. But as we come, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you speak into our world. You tell us all sorts of things that we need to know. And we pray you'd help us to have listening ears this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're coming to the last in our series on prayer. Since the beginning of the year, we've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer, kind of breaking that down, and then last week we looked at some prayer in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah, and this week we're looking at God's people praying in the New Testament, here in Acts chapter 12. And I don't know about you, I've been quite encouraged by this series in prayer, lots of good things. But for some reason, I still don't seem to be praying much more. I feel quite convicted by that. And as I've thought about it this week, I wonder, what stops us praying? You know, some of us kind of like, oh, well, I don't really know what to pray. Well, go back and look at the series we've done in the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully that'll be informative. Or some of us kind of go, oh, well, I'm a bit busy. I've got quite a lot going on at the moment. I don't really have time to pray. And sometimes I tell myself that. But if I'm honest with you, one of the reasons I think I don't pray as much as I wish I did is because sometimes I just don't believe it's going to do anything. I just don't believe that it's going to make a difference. Well, this chapter of Acts, chapter 12, is here to inspire us. It's a true story, and true stories can sometimes be really inspiring, can't they? It's here to inspire us to trust that prayer does really work, that God really does answer our prayers. And so we're going to dive straight in. If you've shut your Bible, please do open it back up again to page 1106. And we're going to dive straight in with the story, this true story, because the church is in need. In the book of Acts, it's a book in the New Testament that charts the story of the early church and the phenomenal growth that happens. And so far, chapters 1 to 11, there has been some pretty amazing growth, from just a few Christians to thousands in a matter of weeks. But as we reach the beginning of chapter 12, it's not looking so good for the church, and particularly for its head honcho, the Apostle Peter. Look down with me again at verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with their approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now Herod, the local ruler, he's a nasty piece of work. Okay, it seems as though he wanted to increase his approval ratings in the local area. And so he took James, imprisoned him, then executed him. And it worked. His numbers were boosted. And so he thinks, well, who's next then? How can I get my popularity up a few more notches? And so he arrests Peter. He puts him in prison, awaiting the trial, and we presume, I think, that what's going to happen here is another kangaroo court trial and he's going to get executed. And he gets put in prison, right? Verse 4. It's a pretty secure affair. Verse 4, after arresting him, that's Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. That's quite a lot for one prisoner. This is ADX Florence. It's a supermax prison in the United States. And every prisoner is essentially in solitary confinement for their entire time. They spend 23 hours a day in their prison cell, which looks something a bit like this. And if they go out, they are chained with both hands and feet. It's a pretty secure affair at ADX Florence. But Peter, he's in effect being locked up in a maximum security prison. He's been given the supermax treatment four squads of four soldiers, 16 personal guards. And he's got chains on both hands. And he's got a soldier at each side, and then another few stationed at the door. It doesn't look good for Peter. It looks very unlikely, impossible, you might say, for him to escape. And I guess in our own lives, some of us will have impossible-looking situations. Things that we just think, I don't know how anything could change here. You know, in a room like this, there'll be all sorts of things like that. And then think about the health of our church, our national church. Looks like a slightly impossible situation too. Numbers dwindling, let's be honest. And a national church that has a massive lack of unity and argues over what the truth is. Looks pretty hopeless in many ways. For us and the church, it looks like there's nothing we can do, but this inspiring story in Acts chapter 12 teaches us there is something we can do. The church is in need. And so the church prays. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church is in need, and so that church prays together. They turn to the one who can actually do something to help. And notice, the church was earnestly praying. That word earnest there kind of could be strenuously, persistently, striving. Tell you a story. When I was about 6 years old, I really, really wanted a drum kit. And every time the Argos catalogue, do you remember those? The Argos catalogue came through, I'd flick through to the right page, I'd put a big fat circle around the drum kit, and then I would turn to the people that I knew who could do something about it. And I would earnestly, persistently, strenuously ask them to help me. To which they would say, stop spending your pocket money on sweets and start saving. The church, though, yeah, that's what it looked like. The church, however, they turned to the one that they know who can do something about their problem. Earnestly, persistently, they strive in prayer. And the church here is a good example to you and me. Good example for what we can do as we face all sorts of troubles and needs in our lives and in our world and in our church. We can turn together to pray. And particularly in this chapter, we're being encouraged, I think, to pray together. Not just kind of off in our own little silos, but actually gathering like we do on a Sunday to pray. But also at other times, like as Nick said this week, we've got our monthly prayer meeting coming up. And we can pray together. It's coming up Wednesday, 7:30 in here. Come, let's strive together. Let's earnestly talk to the one who can do something. I mean, it's not because there's no shortage of things, is there? There is plenty of stuff we need to pray about. Plenty of stuff we would love God to do things about. So let's clear our diaries. Let's be here. And if Wednesday evenings don't work for you, I can understand that there might be reasons that we can't clear our diaries. So come, if you can, on Wednesday, on Friday mornings. 9:30, we meet in the prayer chapel every week. Let's gather, let's pray together. Because we pray, because as we see on our third point, God answers. The church prays because God answers. It's a truly inspiring story, because into this impossible-looking situation comes a pretty phenomenal prison break. Now, prison breaks aren't that common, but they do happen. The biggest one ever to happen in Britain happened in 1983 in Northern Ireland. A group of 38 IRA bombers broke out of HMP Maze in Northern Ireland. And it required quite a lot of planning. They planned for months. They managed to smuggle in guns. They fashioned all sorts of weapons and tools from things. And on a chosen day, it was go time. And it was a pretty messy affair. There were hostages, there were shots fired, people got beaten up, two people even got killed. But 38 people did escape. But it was hard work, it was a messy affair. But Peter's prison break here in Acts chapter 12 was anything but messy, anything but difficult. It was really, really easy. Look at the details with me. Verse 7, Peter is still asleep. You know, he's not kind of working hard at what he's going to do and how it's going to work. He's not kind of, you know, he's not James Bond kind of thinking, like, how's this going to work? I'm going to use the laser on my watch. He's still asleep when the angel of the Lord arrives. And the angel has to sort of say, look, Peter, come on, let's go. You need to wake up. Get your shoes on. We're going. And verse 7 also, the chains miraculously fall off his arms. There are no locks picked, no frantic filing to get them off before the guards wake up. The chains, they just fall off. Verse 8, the angel of the Lord comes and says, look, get dressed, get your shoes on, get your coat on, we're heading out. Verse 10, they walk past the first set of guards, then the second, without any trouble. No opposition, no arguments, no fights, no hostages, nothing. No one says a word. And then they arrive at the big front door, the big iron gate we're told about. And you think, oh no, how are they going to get through? It's like a big iron gate. What are they going to do? Maybe the angel of the Lord brought some dynamite. Nope. The door, as it says in verse 10, it opened for them by itself. This is a miraculous escape. Now, God has answered the prayers of his people, and he's done it easily. They just walk out. And Peter, verse 11, is in no doubt how this has come about. He knows it's God's intervention. He says, verse 11, now I know without doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches. Peter's clear. It's the Lord who has done this. It's the Lord who's broken him out. Kind of like sent this angel of the Lord, his kind of special forces agent. Despite how impossible it looked, God answered the prayers of his people easily. And it's an inspiring story for us, because it's true. It did really happen. God can really answer prayer. And although we struggle to believe it sometimes, it is true. So, let's get praying big prayers together. Let's be inspired by this story, remembering what God can really do. Because when you believe that someone can really do something, you're much more likely to turn to them for help, aren't you? I used this example a couple of weeks ago at our last prayer meeting. But imagine this guy is your brother and you're at the airport and you're struggling. You've maxed out on your 23 kilos in your two bags and you're struggling to get across the airport with your bags. And then you remember, hold on, my brother who's with me is the strongest man in the world. He can take the bags. I'm going to turn to him for help. Well, we've got way more than that in the God of the universe. There's nothing that God cannot do because he's too weak or just unable. Let's turn to the God who can easily answer our prayers. And God knows that we find this hard to believe, right? I think this chapter illustrates something of that. Now, this chapter is wonderfully realistic about the people who pray. Because when Peter comes looking for the church, heads off to Mary's house, and knocks on the door, what happens? Well, they don't even believe it could be him. Rhoda, who comes to answer the door, comes back to them and says, oh, look, it's Peter at the door. And verse 15, how do they respond? You're out of your mind. I mean, they've literally just been praying about this. And it happens. And they go, no, it couldn't happen. And so Peter keeps knocking. Verse 16, they opened the door and saw him and they were astonished. It's wonderfully realistic about how much we believe that God can do. And yet, God's ability to answer our prayers clearly here is not based on how much we believe that he can do it. Let me say that again. God's ability to answer our prayers is not based on our ability to trust him and what he can do. God can answer our prayers whether we really believe very strongly or not that he can answer them. So let's get praying, whether we struggle to believe it or not. Let's get doing it. Let's get praying big things for our world, for our church. And I appreciate that this story is 2,000 years old. So in a minute, I want to share with you some examples of how God has been answering prayer more recently. But as we come to the end of this series on prayer, there's a big question that I think it's worth spending a little bit of time, taking a sidestep, so to speak, to answer a question about prayer. You see, we're seeing today that God is so big, he can easily answer our prayers, and yet sometimes he doesn't. Why? Why doesn't God sometimes answer our prayers? And so just for a minute, I think it's worth us thinking through these three things, just to begin to answer this important and difficult question. Why doesn't God always answer our prayers? Because it's painful, isn't it? It's painful when we pray for things and they don't happen. We pray in earnest, striving, persistently, and yet God doesn't answer. Well, here are three things for us to consider. They're just the beginning of an answer, but three things. First up, there are prayers that God always answers. There are prayers that God always answers. Earlier in our service, we prayed one of those kind of prayers. We prayed for God to forgive us, to have mercy on us, to give us essentially a place in eternal life. And that is a prayer that God's answer is always yes to. It's a prayer he always answers immediately. God always answers the prayer of forgiveness and mercy. And that's good, right? Because that is the most important prayer any one of us could ever ask, is to ask for his mercy and his forgiveness and a place in eternal life. God doesn't promise to always change our circumstances, but he does promise always to save us when we ask him. There are prayers that God always answers. Secondly, God's ways are higher than our ways. When we pray, we come to someone who is not like us. We're not speaking to a peer, someone on our level. Brilliantly, we are speaking to someone who is the creator of our universe, who has infinite power, and who has infinite knowledge. And we don't have that infinite knowledge. We don't know everything perfectly. And so sometimes we ask for things, and God perfectly knows that something else is best for us. And I'm not pretending that that is easy. That is hard when we think one thing is good and God thinks something else is good. That is really, really hard. And there are many tears, many pains associated with that. But we can trust that God's ways are higher than ours. He does know what is best for us. Thirdly, we can know that God is good. See, sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers, isn't there kind of the natural inclination to think, well, do you know what, if you're not saving, you're not helping me, you're not doing the things that I think you should, the danger is we think, well, God, then maybe God isn't good. Well, when we think that, and that's legitimate, I know we think that sometimes, we can trust that God is good when we look at the cross. When we look at the fact that God was willing to humble himself, to come into our world as a man, and then to come and die on a cross that he didn't deserve, for you and me, we can know that God is good and that he is for us. We need to just look at the cross closer and closer and closer if we struggle to believe that. Well, that's just three short answers, three short things to think about why God doesn't answer prayer. Again, that's the beginning of a conversation for sure. And if you'd like to come and talk to me about that afterwards, I'd love to talk more about it, to pray with you perhaps. It's a big issue. But, as I said, I want to finish our time together by inspiring us some more. Acts chapter 12 was written 2,000 years ago. Now, it's a story that happened a long time ago, but God has been busy easily answering other prayers. This week I went around to a number of members of the church family and asked them, what ways has God answered prayer in your life? And here's a list of a whole load of things that I heard about. You know, God has answered prayers about housing, about ill health and healing, about avoiding major surgery, about friendships and healing disagreements. I heard a whole load of stories about how God had helped with financial situations and jobs. I think, for example, about the money that was raised, the six-figure sum that was raised for buying the bungalow down at St. Richard's. In just a few weeks, God answered easily. How the exact right amount of money has arrived on people's doorsteps in exactly the right day. God has answered prayers about physical and emotional strength for people's days. God has answered prayers about staffing for the church here. God has answered prayers about providing people to serve in various areas. God has answered prayers about protection for some of our missionaries. God has answered prayers about finding things, and even particularly, more than one person said, answering prayers about finding a parking space. But I'll end with a story that Judy Atchison, one of the members of the church family, who used to be a missionary in the Congo. She said that she went out there and they were starting a youth group. They didn't know if anyone would ever turn up. And so they prayed. And five people turned up. They were really thankful. But within a few months, the youth group was 50 strong. Some of these young people were from violent, difficult, broken homes where they knew nothing of Jesus Christ and the hope and the love found in him. And most of the 50 turned to him for life and for faith and for comfort and forgiveness. Some of them, they prayed, and then some of them ended up becoming vicars and youth workers and help and aid workers. One of them's even one of our mission partners, a man called Bisoki. All because they prayed. The church prays, and God answers easily. So let's be inspired, and let's come together to pray. Let's pray big things together. I hope to see you on Wednesday night, Friday morning. There's no shortage of things for us to pray about. So let's pray and see what God will do. It'd be a shame to not pray right now, wouldn't it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can answer prayer easily. And we're sorry for the times that we doubt that, and so we don't pray. Please help us this week and in the months to come to really believe that you answer prayer. And so would we turn to you, would we pray big things, would we see you bring change, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.